ask you to join me in welcoming Professor Shinoda back to Nashville.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Howard, for the nice introduction. And I'm very, very pleased to be back in Nashville. As you said, I used to be a bluegrass player, and as a bluegrass guitar and a mandolin player, there's two places in the United States I had to visit. One of them, Nashville, Tennessee. The other one is Nazareth, Pennsylvania, where the Martin guitar is manufactured. So 27 years ago, I made sure I included the Nashville as my visiting place. Today I'm going to talk about the Koizumi's leadership in foreign domestic policy, and as he said, Dr. Awa said that next week we are going to have an LDP presidential election. And I think it is very, very important for Koizumi to have 5.5 years of tenure. Last 20 years, we had 8-9 different prime ministers who served only 2 years or shorter, and they couldn't achieve anything. And I think Koizumi, under the Koizumi government, there are many achievements I'm going to go through. But the reason why he could do it was having a 5.5 years long term, and I'm hoping the next prime minister, which is going to be Mr. Abe, who is going to, I'm hoping that he can serve as long as 5 or 6 years as Koizumi did. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for him to achieve anything. And Koizumi's leadership is very interesting. It's very unexpected in many ways, and very unpredictable, especially for the professional political analyst who is used to the traditional Japanese politics of factionalism and negotiating behind the doors and so forth. But Koizumi is much more straightforward. You know, political analysts try to read behind the words, or between the lines of his statement, and they fail to interpret correctly eventually. And the example is a September 2005, just last year, he had an election. He dissolved the lower house, and nobody predicted it's going to happen. What happened is he fired everybody, kicked out the 37 LDP old members out of his party, and sent the opponents in their district. Nobody really predicted that what he could, but he kept saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But so if you try to read what he is trying to say, just what it is, that it's the best way to understand him. It's very, he's simple-minded and straightforward and very eccentric person we have. So I told this joke to Jim once before. He reminds me of an old joke about a lady and a diplomat. Do you know, anybody know about it? Okay, the joke goes like this. If lady says no, she probably means maybe. And if lady says maybe, she definitely means yes. If she says yes, she's no longer lady. And on contrary, you know, Japanese, well, the diplomat says yes, he probably means maybe, and if he says maybe, he probably means no, politely. And if he says no, he's no longer a diplomat. So the lesson here is you have to read the words behind what true meaning behind the words. But in Koizumi's case, when Koizumi says yes, he means yes, and when he says no, he means no. And the prime minister says maybe, he's no longer Koizumi. So that's like that. But and he has been doing what he promised to do. The one example is his visit to Yasukuni Shrine on August 15th. It's very, very controversial, and many people criticize him hardly. Very hard because it's worsening relationship with China. But simply, he promised during his election campaign for LDP president in 2001 he was going to visit. On a visit there on August 15th, but the first year his associates said, no, don't visit. If you were going to go visit, just do it two days before the August 15th, that the War Memorial Day. And he did it, but he still received the criticism. And he went there in January, he visited in April, and in one time in fall. And this is his last year, and he decided to visit on August 15th. And 1 week before, he said, well, it doesn't matter. Whenever I visit there, they criticize. So he visited on August 15th, as he promised during the election campaign. But here, I want to point out the Koizumi's achievement. One, domestic and economic reform area, the biggest achievement he did is getting over the financial crisis. He convinced the Japanese private banks received the government subsidies to liquidate all of the bad loans, which helped circulating the money flows in the Japanese economy, as well as giving a confidence to the foreign investor to reinvest in Japanese financial market. Second, I don't think Koizumi is Koizumi knows much about the economic policy. How about his government kept the loose monetary policy, virtually keeping a interest rate at 0% for a long time, and also that quantitatively loosen up the monetary supply, so help increase the liquidation of the money in Japan. And structural reform. Postal reform was a major issue for the last election, and highway construction, he stopped some of the costly, non-profitable highway, and he changed the financial balance, revenue spending balance between central and local government spending. Some people would criticize he didn't do what he promised to do. He ended up with a political promise and political compromise. However, most important thing is that the market reacted, well, he's doing something, and he delivered it, so that the foreign investors especially gained the confidence in Japanese financial market and reinvested and helped to revitalize Japanese economy. Diplomacy side, I'll point out three important things. One, Koizumi government strengthened the alliance with the United States to recovering Japan's reputation from the disastrous experience of 1990 Gulf War, in which Japan could not do any contribution other than the financial assistance. So that I'll talk about in detail later, but I think this was a very important part. And second, in addition to 9/11 shock, in Japan we have a 9/17 shock. Prime Minister Koizumi, as the first Prime Minister of Japan to visit in Pyongyang on September 17th in 2002, and made Kim Jong-il admit that his government kidnapped Japanese nationals, and they successfully got the five of Japanese nationals back to Japan, and later their family members. I think this was major political achievement or diplomatic achievement he made. I think after 4 years now, it's not highly regarded, enough, which I think it's not too good. And most recently, Japanese government, Koizumi government, and especially with the leadership of Chief Cabinet Secretary Abe, that the quickly reacted to North Korean missile shooting in this July and submitted the UN Security Council resolution for the first time as the Japanese government. and successfully gained that unanimous support to pass the resolution to condemn North Korean government. And I think this was a major diplomatic achievement as well. Negative side, yes, Queen Shrine visit I talked about a little bit. They claim that the Japan and China relationship is the worst in the post-war period. But I do not share that view. But the media people just want to focus on this issue. But yes, we didn't have a summit meeting at the top. Mr. Fu and Mr. Koizumi did not meet for a long time, just between two of them. But governmental level, middle working class, and also economic relations between the two countries is very good. I'm not really worried about that Sino-Japanese relations now. And national security policy, there are at least four major pieces of legislation of national security were passed. 2001 anti-terrorism legislation passed. In 2003, emergency legislation to react foreign military attack on Japan. We never had this before. So we never had the legal framework until 2003 how to react to some foreign country attack Japan. So anything self-defense force would try to do would be illegal without this law. The same year, Iraq reconstruction legislation, which they sent a major ground self-defense troops to Samawa, Iraq, for the reconstruction effort. In 2004, more emergency-related legislation to supplement the 2003 legislation. And especially anti-terrorism legislation, Iraq legislation, it was enacted within a 7 week of period. In the case of anti-terrorism, I'm sorry, this is very small characters. It took only 4 weeks for the Japanese government to finish drafting, preparing legislation. It was quite unusual for the Japanese government to come up with a major piece of legislation like that. And took only 3 weeks in the Diet, with 62 hours of deliberation, they passed it. And in case of Iraq reconstruction legislation, it took only 1 week to go through intra-governmental process, and took six weeks in the Diet to pass. Total of 7 weeks, they passed two major legislations, which is quite unusual for the Japanese government, which is known as a very, very slow process. And why were these possible? Some people give different explanation. Well, realists would argue that the post-war Cold War situation requires Japan to contribute more than the financial. So that it is Japan's obligation to contribute more within the framework of the U.S.-Japan security alliance. Well, liberalists argue, well, that's not the biggest element. Instead, China and other East Asian countries have a different attitude towards Japan. In case of 1992 PKO legislation, China strongly reacted against it, and South Korea too. But after the very successful attempt by a self-defense force for the peacekeeping operations in Cambodia, Golan Heights, Somalia, and elsewhere, and convinced Asian countries that the Japan self-defense dispatch is not a bad thing. Or some people argue differently. No, it's too simplistic answer. Domestic politics factors are very important. Or public opinion changed. Or interest group politics, they're more supporting for the realistic options of national security policy. Or some argue inter-party politics, anti-American elements went down. Well, inter-party politics, all the political parties, traditional leftism going down, Komeito, which had been boastful of its pacifist stance, now became the part of the coalition government, and they had to choose a realistic national security policy. Or the largest opposition, Democratic Party, they try to show their ability to run the government. So they want to promote the more responsible national security policy. So all the dynamics changes, all entire political parties shift from leftist to right to support more active national security policy. Or, this is my major argument. No. More importantly, domestic institutions changed. Political institutions changed. So it became easier for the prime minister to lead the policy or show, exercise leadership in the policy making. So what kind of institutional changes? Well, top-down decision making became possible in 2001 for several reasons. Well, Kante initiated. Kante is the equivalent of American White House in Japan. It's a cabinet secretariat. And they are now authorized to initiate policy. They can draft legislations and became the central coordinator among the different ministry. And second, Koizumi successfully ignored intra-party policy-making process. LDP has been a very, very decentralized party. All the decision-making was actually made by the subcommittee level of the so-called LDP Research Affairs Council. Policy Affairs Research Council. Right. So those people, Zoku in LDP Policy Research Council, being the very, very powerful mediator between the government and the LDP. But Koizumi successfully ignored their influence. Or the highest decision-making organ within the LDP is called General Council, which required customarily the unanimous decision. But again, Koizumi ignored the General Council, and let's say, in case of the postal reform, he took a vote against the tradition within the LDP. And three, that the September 2005 election, I told you already that he dissolved the lower house and kicked out all the people who opposed his proposal and sent the candidates run against them, and only four survived. Yeah. So 33 of them were told out of the political world. This is a new prime minister's office which was built like 2 years ago. And now it became Japanese government, traditionally known as a bureaucratic center. All the ministry has more power. But now, I think more for the major policy, prime minister's office plays more central role. And this is a structure. I just want to point out, Chief Cabinet Secretary, Prime Minister and Chief Cabinet Secretary. And Chief Cabinet Secretary, it's like a Chief of Staff of the White House and plus the spokesperson of the White House combined. He offers two press conferences twice a day. And this position became very, very powerful. Under the Koizumi government, it became like a deputy prime minister. It's de facto deputy prime minister. And two leading candidates, Abe, who is going to be the prime minister next week, and Fukuda, who was seen as his rival, both served as a chief cabinet secretary and without no other cabinet position experience, which is quite unusual. It shows that the role of the chief cabinet secretary, you know, traditionally, finance minister, foreign minister was considered as the most important position to become the prime minister. But now, chief cabinet secretary became very important. And he has three deputies, two parliamentary, one administrative. I just want to point out, administrative deputy chief cabinet secretary is very, very important. He is the top of the whole entire Japanese bureaucracy. And he became very powerful. So those two, most of the decision, major decision making in Japan, those two make the final decision between themselves. And prime ministers are often, prime ministers often not actually involved in the final decision making. This is traditionally the bottom up decision making. As I told you, that the LDP Policy Research Council as a subcommittee, actual decisions were made at this level. After this, it was ceremonial. In the bureaucracy, decision making actually started at the lower level, mid-30s bureaucrat and deputy director level, initiate the policy. And if it goes up to the bureau meeting, it's actual this final decision making process. At that, it reaches this level, all the log rolling, nemawashi is already done among the political parties within the ministry, and as well as coordination with other ministries. But one reason why that the Chief Cabinet Secretary became very powerful is that just want to point out that the screening appointments, the bureau chief and above, kyokucho and above, all the appointment within the ministry has to be approved by the cabinet. And before that, it would be submitted to the cabinet, chief cabinet secretary screen the all those new positions. So actually, he has a veto power there. So that shifted power balance between prime minister's office or cabinet secretary and all the ministries. And also, there's a legal changes took place in 2001. The new cabinet law, Article 4, clarified that the prime minister's authority to initiate policy. And it gives the cabinet secretary the power, which it didn't have before. It used to be like a passive coordination. It means the ministry, if the two or more ministries have a conflict with each other, they bring up to the cabinet secretary, and chief cabinet secretary now can act as a mediator. But now, cabinet secretary, as I said, they have an authority to plan and draft. This word draft is very important. Draft meaning that they can write legislations, which all the ministry strongly objected. But Prime Minister Hashimoto, during his administrative reform, he insisted to include this. So this changed again. And also, Cabinet Secretary, which is Japan's equivalent White House, was defined as the highest and final organ for policy coordination. So now, Naikaku Kanbo, Cabinet Secretary, is above all the ministries. So as a result, this is a new top-down process. Prime Minister instructed Chief Cabinet Secretary, and the Chief Cabinet Secretary given to Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary. And he gives the assignment to office within the Cabinet Secretary. And they do the political coordination with ministries and goes up. And this final decision is made between them, as I said before. Chief Cabinet Secretary and his deputy. The guy, Mr. Furukawa, who served in this position 8.5 years, I had a long interview, a 3-hour long interview, and he drew this diagram in front of me. And when I published my book, I included this diagram and said, he thought it was not good because this doesn't show any involvement of the prime minister, so he had to change it. But this is the original diagram he wrote, and he actually meant what it actually happened. Well, this is not only the process, just the policy making process, but the implementation side. Cabinet secretary houses all those ad hoc policy rooms to take care of whatever policy initiative they started and oversees how it is implemented. Those are the areas in information security or judicial reform. Now they have 15 policy rooms. So I see Koizumi government, this is a so-called concentric circle model, and prime minister and then cabinet secretary initiate the policy. Usually it goes to the LDP or within the government first, and if it's a coalition government, like a current situation, Japan has Koizumi government has a coalition with the Kometo, they consult with Kometo and submit the legislation to the Diet, and opposition party would be involved, and public electorate influence this whole decision making process. But in case of Koizumi, he skipped log rolling within LDP and sometimes within government, and he made an agreement first with the coalition partners. So, and then pressured them that the LDP members to agree with it. That happened during the 2001 anti-terrorism legislation policy making, and also 2003 Iraq crisis. And he gained the public support throughout his policy making, so that it would give the pressure for the opposition party not to reject government proposal in the Diet. So he used a very unusual or non-traditional policy making process to make pass the important pieces of national security legislation. This is what Koizumi did, and he has been very, very successful. And for last thing, I just skipped this one, but this is LDP factions as of this month, and Mr. Abe represents the currently largest faction within LDP. This is my friend Kono Taro. He didn't get enough supporters, so he had to withdraw his candidacy of LDP. But Mark knows him very well, so I included him. Two more competitors here, and this is Mr. Tanigaki, who is running against leading candidate Abe, but I feel so badly for him being a finance minister. Being a finance minister, he was... Do we have a MOF representative here?
No?
No? Okay. MOF effectively trapped him in the position to say that we need to have a financial reconstruction that reduce the deficit. So his campaign promises raise the consumption tax to from 5% to 10%. He's not going to have any chance to win. And Aso-san, a very nice guy, but he only represents a very, very small fraction of LDP. And I don't think he's going to win the election. So, and LDP is factionalized, but this is 408 members that LDP currently have. And in order to win the election, you have to have a majority of 408 Diet members vote and 300 votes from LDP branches at prefectural level. And I was told probably Abe got already 200 votes from the local office, and probably at least two-thirds of 408. So it's going to be very easy for Mr. Abe to win the election on September 20th. But it sounds like he has a very, very strong power base. But probably, I'm afraid he doesn't. Because, you know, he's represents the largest faction, but it's only probably one-fifth or maybe one-sixth of the LDP members. Most of the LDP members won't have him as the LDP president because we are facing upcoming election in July. And nobody wants Taniyaki, who proposed a 10% in consumption tax, or Mr. Aso, who had a crooked mouth, to run the election as under their leadership. So now we have a very big support, big percentage support within LDP for Abe. However, if LDP loses in the coming upper house election in July, that his power base or support may disappear, and he may have a difficulty to run the government. So, and it's very unusual that Japan that already upper house election campaign started, and there's a campaign car running all over now, and all the candidates finished taking pictures with Ozawa, Democratic Party, already finishing making election posters. So, and they started 10 months long electoral campaign already. This is very quite unusual. And so this is going to be very, very big turning point for Japanese politics, and I would like to watch the outcome of the election. Thank you, and I'll stop here.
Can you take your question?
Yes, I'm happy to take any.
Okay, I'll start.
Yep.
Two questions.
Yes.
Is Koizumi really good, or is he lucky? And second, this new top-down decision-making process,
mm-hmm.
From the point of view of being more or less democratic than the old bottom-up system, what's your evaluation? Is it more democratic, or is it, in fact, more autocratic and less democratic? How do you evaluate its
effect? That's a very good question. Is Koizumi good or lucky? He was good in a sense. He has determined, and he never changes his standpoint. And he, as instinct, I think he knew it was very important factor for the leadership. As a leader, it was very important. And he was also lucky that the Prime Minister Hashimoto did all the administrative reform. And that the fruit of the administrative reform was that the strength in the cabinet and that the cabinet secretariat. So he took advantage of it. Did he know the changes? Probably not. He was very fortunate to have two able people support him throughout most of his administration, Mr. Fukuda and Mr. Furukawa. Mr. Furukawa was under Prime Minister Hashimoto promoting administrative reform, so he knows what the legal change means. So when the 9/11 happened, Furukawa-san was a person, central person, who organized all the study group among the government of major government officials, JDA, MOFA, everything, cabinet, legislative office. And push it through by utilizing a newly authorized power. So, and also Fukuda-san, Chief Cabinet Fukuda, who was seen as a leading candidate in the presidential election, he decided to withdraw. But Fukuda-san was a very, very rare person among the Japanese LDP politicians. He's a very, very normal person. He had the experience of businessman for 17 or 18 years, and I've met him, and he's a very nice guy, well balanced. You know, the politicians within the LDP, I don't know how many you know, but many of them are very eccentric. You know, they want to say I did this and did this. Fukuda-san is very modest, and so. He was a very, very capable person. So those two of them was very, very stable. and know great administrative skills, which Mr. Koizumi did not have. So, and Koizumi-san was, in that sense, very lucky to have those two in his government in a crucial period. And successfully, those two were able to pull out everything what he did.
And how about the democracy?
Oh, democracy. Oh, democratic process or not? Well, I would call it, it is, because of the so-called Westminster style. I think it was Olya George, the Australian professor, who wrote the article that she claimed that Japan is non-Westminster, British style of parliamentary parliamentary system, because the LDP was had the actual political power, but. One, in a parliamentary government, I think once prime minister, if the ruling party chooses its leader to be a prime minister, they have to let the cabinet to run the government without, you know, interfering in details of the policy making. So in that sense, well, once they are authorized in to carry whatever campaign promise, I think the prime minister is entitled to pursue his policy goal. And also, in different aspect, I think LDP became very, very democratized because of the new electoral system. We used to have a multiple seat system in which 3 to 5 people representing the same district. In such a system, there would be a senior LDP member and junior LDP member within the same district. Then the constituency, you know, companies within the constituency goes to the senior members who have a better connections and a stronger political power. But now, those lower house members who are representing, being single-handedly his constituency, feels more equal. So they became very, very vocal. Like our friend Kono Taro is the one. After the election 2001, I think he stood up and criticized that the very powerful Secretary General Nonaka. And he was a young man. He told Secretary General to resign in the early because it could have never happened under that old electoral system. So in that sense, I think it's more democratic. Well, I think he.
I
really
want to ask about the
yes.
government's role in healthcare in Japan. Mm. In the American government, many of our presidents have struggled with grappling with the cost of healthcare. Mm-hmm. And I know in Japan, the public and private hospitals, which also incorporate the nursing home component, may be under stress. Can you comment about that?
We have a very good healthcare system. All the Japanese nationals are supposed to be subscribing one or two health insurance program, and what the before long before that the people. The person who is actually paying for the insurance program and did not have to pay anything, and then insurance covered everything. But now, at first, that they had to pay 10%. Now I think it's 20% they have to pay, and so largely because that those insurance payer or they pay a little bit, and corporations pay the other half. They did not feel that they're putting it's costing a lot to the many of the corporate employees. So that there was a problem happened. Hospitals taking advantage of very short burden for the insurance employees. They gave lots of if you get the cold. They give you lots of medicines that they can get the kickbacks from the government. And giving a lot of too much cold medicine, it would affect the stomach. So they give a stomach medicine at the same time. Those kind of things happened before, and that it became a big problem. So now the separation of hospital and a drug, pharmaceutical taking place, and so it's getting better. So the healthcare system right now is in a pretty good shape. But another issue I think is important issue, the pension. Another aspect of social welfare, which not the Chief Cabinet Secretary Abe, he has a strong expertise in two areas of policies. One is national security and foreign affairs, and the other one is social security and welfare. And he would be a good prime minister to reform current pension system in Japan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Related with the Professor Awa's question, mm-hmm. I have a couple of more questions. Mr. Koizumi succeeded unusual, non-traditional top-down decision making without changing constitutional law and without changing major law changes. He completed that with the existing political system. And so probably your answer was, he was lucky, he could have Mr. Fukuda or Mr. Furukawa. But seems like Mr. Abe doesn't have that kind of people. How should Mr. Abe will succeed the top-down system? Does he need any the major system changes in the administration? And I've read the article that Mr. Abe is seeking to propose some law which expand the cabinet system in his administration. How you see that? Because for me, it looks like Mr. Koizumi is a very lucky guy, and I don't think Mr. Abe will have them the same luck in his town.
No, legal change took place. Koizumi didn't do it. Hashimoto did it. And that the Koizumi was able to take advantage of the legal changes. Like, as I said, the Prime Minister's strength and the Prime Minister's power. And I think you're right. It depends on the Chief Cabinet Secretary. Currently, Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary, top position of the bureaucracy is Mr. Futahashi, who is already serving in that position 2 years. And I think Abe is going to ask him to stay there, that position. And so, I think you pointed it correctly that it's very important who is going to be Chief Cabinet Secretary under Abe government. And he's going to be the central in the major decision making in Japanese government. I was told that Mr. Shiozaki, who is only 52 years old, Abe-san is only 51 years old, so was seeking that position. But I think having Prime Minister Abe and Shiozaki in the Chief Cabinet Secretary position may not be a good combination. For the cabinet to be effective, I think we need to have a heavyweight in Chief Cabinet Secretary position, and I'm hoping that the Mr. Kaoru Yosano would be the one. I think he would be very good. He is exposed to different policy areas, so that he would serve as a great Chief Cabinet Secretary for Abe to actually run the policy making. Yeah, Mark.
Yes. Concerning Koizumi's visits to the shrines,
no.
It's been very controversial in Japan, and obviously inflammatory gesture towards China. Would you explain, though, if China didn't exist,
is China
visit? Would the visits, what would the visits be, how would they be perceived among the Japanese?
Without China. I think public opinion changed quite rapidly last 10 years, probably 10 years ago, that the visit was seen as a very nationalistic action. Even without the Chinese opposition, probably only 30% of Japanese, the 40% at most, would have supported. Like Nakasone visited the first prime minister, officially visited the shrine. He was not really supported. Well, he decided not to go because of Chinese opposition.
Could you explain a little bit to people who don't know why Yasukuni?
Yasukuni Shrine enshrines all those people who died in a battle since the Meiji Restoration. It became controversial after 1978 when the shrine began enshrining, well, include that the A-class criminal, war criminal, so-called, including Prime Minister Tojo, the post-war Prime Minister of Japan, who led that Japan, some people argue that the made a militaristic decision. So, and, let's say, and it has been controversial for a long time, since 1985, when Prime Minister Nakasone visited for the first time officially. And probably only this year, pretty much split 40% about are supporting, the other 40 opposing, and 20% neutral or no opinion. And this spring, I think it was in June, or maybe July, Nihon Keizai Shimbun scooped that the memo, a memorandum was left from the former director of the Imperial Household Agency, Mr. Tomita, revealing that the Showa Emperor's statement, who had the strong frustration that the Yasukuni Shrine included those so-called A-class war criminals. Then the public opinion changed again, more against, 50% probably against the visit, and 30% supporting. And then Prime Minister Koizumi made a statement just a week before his visit, and he's tactically actually asked the cabinet secretary to conduct public opinion polls. Do you support Prime Minister's visit to Yasukuni Shrine on August 15th? And I was told only 30% only supported, and the opposition was larger. But he did it anyway. And he made a week before he made a comment, and he said, "Well, when I visited January." Visit there in January, China complained. April, they complained. It doesn't matter when I visit. And he visited on August 15th, as he promised in 2001 presidential election. And interestingly, most of the Japanese people bought that statement. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they complained in January, they complained in April. Why not August 15th? It should be the way it is. And the public opinion poll taken right after his visit on August 15th, 60% of the public supported his visit.
Wow.
Yeah, so he took a political risk, which he didn't expect to win, but he did it somehow. And short comment worked very effectively. He's in that sense he was genius. He cannot explain logically, but he throws a very short one phrase to convince the public to agree with him. Yes.
Thank you very much. I have two related questions. It seems Koizumi is still powerful and popular, even though it's been 5 years. And for me, it's still not clear why Koizumi had to be resigned, because all politicians tend to keep their regime as long as possible. So for me, it's very unusual situation. So it'd be great if you explain some reasons. And in that reason, can we expect some powerful roles of Guizhi even in this region?
Oh, okay. Well, although there's no limitation for the how many years the Japanese Prime Minister can occupy that leadership position in the Constitution. It just says the Prime Minister has, well, even it doesn't say, indirectly, the Constitution says the Prime Minister has a term up to 4 years. But as an LDP president, he can serve currently he can serve only 3 years. So on September 20th, his term as an LDP president expires, and the LDP president cannot run more than twice. Just 2 terms is the maximum. Well, he's just serving 5.5 years because he succeeded the presidency during the Mori's term. But anyway, so the term limit within LDP is limiting his term. He can be a prime minister if he leaves the LDP and run as an independent. It's possible, but he's not going to do it. Is he going to be influential under the Abe administration? I don't think so. I told that he was ready to retire, and I also was told he won't have his son to succeed his constituency to run at the as a politician. I just met him yesterday in Washington D.C. Koizumi's son, and he's 26 year old and very bright. And I'm hoping that some people said that he's better than the Prime Minister Koizumi himself. Yes.
But the real thing, I think, as Jay's question, he could stay if he really wanted to. I mean, that LDP rule has been waived in
well,
the past.
Yes, that's
but
true.
He's very unusual that he promised, I'm going to leave then, and he's doing it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Last September, September last year, he told publicly that he is not going to seek the extension of his term. That's true. The Prime Minister Nakasone sought the 2-year extension, but he got what was 1-year extension. It was possible, but he chose not to do so. Yes?
I was wondering, when you were discussing international affairs, you said that despite the visits to the shrine, that the Japanese government and the Chinese government had a good understanding and working relationship.
Mm.
I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit, because that's not really the perception you get living in the United States.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, secondly, in light of the coming election, do you think that that relationship,
working relation between the China and Japan would change?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, that the Koizumi's visit to Yasukuni Shrine, well, first of all, let me talk about, it's often described in Japan, it's hot in the economy and cold in the political relationship between the two countries, China and Japan. But Koizumi's visit to Yasukuni Shrine this August did not make a big problem with China. China already knew, and they did the Japanese government, Minister of Foreign Affairs, successfully lobbied China. It's going to happen. I'll let you know earlier, and please accept. I expecting this is going to happen. And it worked. That the Chinese ambassador to Japan left the country on the day of August 15th. Mm-hmm. Try not to make any, you know, political fuss there, and there's no major demonstration or anything that the Chinese government, because they was informed by the Japanese government unofficially, they tried to suppress any kind of anti-Japan demonstration movement. What's going to happen under the Abe government. Abe-san, I've seen him a couple of times, and I read the new book he wrote for the campaign. I'm pretty sure Ambassador Okazaki helped him write. I found he is much more ideologically righteous than Prime Minister Koizumi himself. But the good thing is that he's much more pragmatic and practical and flexible dealing with other countries, dealing with the ministries. I think it's going to help. And it was a good thing, Prime Minister put Prime Minister Koizumi set the hurdle so high. It's going to be very easier to for the Mr. Abe to deal with China. Well, I'm not going to go on August 15th. I promise you. I'm not going to do what the Koizumi did, but I may go July. Is it okay? Maybe say yes. So I don't know. Yes?
I'm 81 years old.
Yes.
I'm not going to speak about that very hard politics. But because of my age, I started like Koizumi-san is because he is very, you know, that thoughtful about those people, you know, that who died before the war, the young people, my generation, you know. Maybe after my generation is gone, they may be changing. But that thing is surprised to me that on the 15th August, when Koizumi wore that real, you know, that it's not just like a suit. And she wore, like that. And
then
they used the government car, a transportation, to went to the Yasukuni Shrine. And then the younger people, I was very surprised. Like a people, 25, 30, 35 people were more for the Koizumi-san. And then, you know, they placed the Koizumi-san, they had the guts to go to the shrine from the, you know, the main thing. And then the reason I begin to like the Koizumi-san was that, like I said, you know, that he respected those dead. Because many people at that time, I was like a teenager, and I know that when the Chinese war and then Japan started, and then they say, newspaper and media says, that those soldiers died for emperor. But later on, we heard that it's not that way. They said that when they died, the last soldier died time and said, Oka-san, that's mother. You know, and then I thought whether Koizumi-san is very thoughtful for those dead young soldiers' parents or grandparents, and then pay the respect to Yasukuni Shrine. And then, but when you know other countries such as China and North Korea, even South Korea, they started fussing over. And then I thought, well, for the sake of the government, the Japanese, I think it maybe Koizumi-san should change it. To myself, I got softener too. But he says, well, wait and see until end of that Japanese people don't want to use the word, lost the war. They say end of the year is the 1945 August.
But I still call it,
you know, Japan lost that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Koizumi-san was going to visit them, and then everybody was thinking what he's going to do and that. I begin to think, well, is he aggravating people, you know, to just make them believe what he's going to do? I just begin to think Koizumi-san should maybe back up, but he did go to. And then I just still don't understand that he really believed that way, or but then today's, I think, newspaper I read that he is more getting like the everyday human man, and then he was ready to interview with those backing up and supported. He is started taking pictures in front of the media, and then he did say, you know, that I don't know anything about the business or job after he finishes prime minister. He said, I would like like to go back to the Congress like that way. That's what he's even mentioned.
So what is the question that the
Asahi's in the
I would like to
stay on that thing. So I thought that is he going to get like a senator here, United States, or the congressman, you know? But he did not say I'm going to back completely the private. Today's Asahi's in
the
mention.
Will he continue in life or
is that your question? That's not what I'm told. he's pretty much. I don't think he's gonna try to be influential. He may run. Well, I don't. Probably next election. Probably coming. Well, some people predict it's gonna be next July. Well, see, even if he resigns as a prime minister, he still maintains his seat as a lower house member. So if you're referring, he's gonna stay there after resigning prime minister. Probably he will, but after the completion of his term, he wants to have his son to succeed his seat.
Thank you.
In the lower house.
In the lower house, yeah.
And when he succeeded his father, he lost the first.
That's right.
And
that's
the
right.
Second election, he was successful.
That's right.
Why don't we take one or two more questions?
Yeah.
I have two really. Koizumi is very charismatic. He kind of has a rock star personality as the prime minister. How do you see his shadow affecting future leadership, trying to accomplish their different policies? And what do you think is the next step in the privatization of the Japanese economy after postal reforms?
Reform? This is LDP factions, and Koizumi came from the same faction as Mr. Abe. Mr. Abe has lots of followers in his factions. Koizumi doesn't. He was known as a lone wolf. He may be, and I was told that Koizumi wanted to influence Abe when he takes the office. So. Again, I believe that he doesn't want to be, you know, like a kingmaker behind the scene who makes all of the influence. I don't think he's such kind of person. So his role, privately he was ready to retire. One of the proof I can probably raise is that in July, he decided not to extend diet session. By extending diet session, like having 30, 40 extra days, he could have passed major piece of legislation like educational reform, basic law, and or the constitutional reform referendum establishing, which is very, very important step for the constitutional revision, which we do not have. But he did not do anything. He could have been more influential later if he was successfully passing these two major pieces, which probably would be influential to the future government. But he didn't. He decided to not make any mistakes anymore. And that allow the chief cabinet secretary more free time to prepare for the presidential election in September. So I may be totally wrong, but my understanding is he's not gonna try to be influential behind the scene after his resignation.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Is there any possibility to recover traditional system?
I talked about top-down decision making. I'm not saying that all the decisions within the Japanese government are top-down. Only if the prime minister or chief cabinet secretary decided to do top-down, which requires two things. One, swiftness, quick passage, quick enactment, then top-down decision making is very effective. Second, if it requires multi-agency or ministry involvement, then coordination of the inter-agency coordination is very important and more effectively done by Chief Cabinet Secretariat. So the traditional bottom-up process still exists for the detailed policy making. But within LDP, I think the factionalism, the influence of factions is pretty much gone. So that it would allow the Prime Minister to choose the top-down decision-making if he wishes to do so.
You mean the power of Zokugi disappeared?
Yeah, pretty much so. Pretty much so.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say I agree 100% with what Professor Shinoda said, but I think I agree with 98%. Okay, so one thing we absolutely agree on, I think it's unlikely Koizumi will try to come back. Koizumi and I are the same age. And we'll reveal what that is. But if I think I'm right, there's a famous English poem written by A. E. Housman called "To an Athlete Dying Young." And everybody is mourning the death of this young athlete. But Housman's poem says, "No, you're very lucky. If you got old, you would slow down and you would try and compete and you would fail. But by dying young, you died at the height of your popularity. Everybody will remember you as a great person." And whether he's been good or whether he's been lucky, Koizumi's got a very good record now. And if he came back, it could only go down rather than go up. And I think he might realize that. So again, since he's a very young man like myself, I have to be dying young. But let's thank Professor Shinoda for very, very
much.
Thank all of you for coming. And again, if